Since 2002, when reporters with the Boston Globe revealed what they discovered about sexual abuse committed by priests against young boys and how the Catholic Church was covering up for the attackers, Church has made a series of counterclaims and some attempts at defense, which at least tested logic and patience. The latest example of this took place in New Jersey during a case involving the Trenton Diocese. Here to discuss this is the director of the New Jersey Chapter of Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, otherwise known as SNAP, Mark Crawford. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Chris.
And the website for the organization overall, by the way, in case you're listening on the stream in other states, is snapnetwork.org. And to find out more about the specific New Jersey chapter, it's /new_Jersey. But snapnetwork.org will get you started in learning more about. You know, Mark, I was going to say something that people understand, but I think just if they look at your news page on the SNAP Network website, this continues to be an ongoing effort by the church to delay and even deny making things right with all these victims.
Without a doubt. It does continue, unfortunately, and I think when you look at the mindset of the officials in charge, and this is not to attack the institution, but to call on the leadership of our church to become more responsible, accountable, and to really change their ways in dealing with clergy who have abused children.
I mentioned in the introduction, the latest example of their excusing or denying involves a case against the Diocese of Trenton, specifically Reverend Terrence McElinden. One of the accusers, at least in this case, is Chris Naples. There are several other young men who, as boys, are charging that they were also sexually abused by McElinden. And this is from the transcript of the trial. One of the justices asked the attorney for the Trenton Diocese, "How do we determine when a priest is and is not on duty?" And the attorney replies as follows, "Well, you can determine a priest is not on duty when he is molesting a child, for example. A priest abusing a child is absolutely contrary to the pursuit of his master's business, to the work of a diocese." Is this guy serious?
It's really incredible, that statement. But more incredible is that the judge bought it. It was astounding to hear. First of all, clergy, I think everyone understands, especially if you even ask members of the clergy, that this is not a job in which they're on or off any clock. They don't get paid by the hour. This is not about, you know, this is a commitment they've made for life. And I'll tell you, I even think of my own case, you know, growing up as a child. At any point, if you tell a priest or a clergy member, "Hey, you know, I would like to talk or hear my confession or talk about one's spirituality," I mean, they don't say, hang on here. I'm not an official priest business." I mean, this is just absurd, ludicrous. And if you really buy that argument, then how is it that any other corporation, institution that allows an employee or somehow played a role when an employee acts contrary to the law? How do we sit there and say, "Oh, wait a minute, they cannot be held liable"? Look at Enron. I mean, does that mean the corporation, because of the officials of that business, so failed its investors and you know, there's no liability there? Absolutely not. That's just absurd.
I think of the flip side of this whole thing. Father Michael Judge, who was a fire department chaplain, Engine Company 1, on September 11th, 2001. He wasn't on duty. He was home in the rectory, and the terrorist attacks hit. Did Father Judge say, "Nope, I'm sorry, I'm not on the clock. Sorry, can't help you"? He grabbed his gear, and he wound up being the first listed death from that day. So for McElinden to either create or attach himself to that defense is just adds to the disgrace that he is showing himself to be.
I agree. But beyond that, I have no doubt this defense was not undertaken without the acknowledgement of the Diocese of Trenton or the bishop. I mean, it's just absurd. So contrary to what Catholics know and have come to know or believe about their clergy. And it's really disgusting that somehow that was allowed to, proceed and be used against this victim. I'm not floored because I'm not shocked. I've seen what concerns me is it seems that they've allowed the lawyers to take control of these issues totally without regard for of faith or morals, you know, when combating victims of clergy sexual abuse. It's just incredible.
So with Mark Crawford, who is the director of the New Jersey chapter of Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, snapnetwork.org/new_Jersey, snapnetwork.org if you're listening across the country. Spend a little time on the news sections in particular, because you will get a reminder of exactly how serious this cause is. And when you look at the story with this young man and all the others, you know, when we get the media coverage of here's the accusation, here's the press conference, and for the outsider looking in, that's period, end of story, move on to the next thing. But for these victims, I mean, there's the depression sets in, the feelings of suicide come about. These are damaged individuals, not just physically, but emotionally.
You're right. And what's more incredible, you know, as you'll read or find out more into this story, is that it was avoidable. They knew there were allegations prior to Chris coming along and telling them. And if they had acted many, many years earlier, then Father McAlinden, known as Father Mac, would not have been still in ministry to perpetuate further abuse upon other children.
Well, we'll stop you there. Would he have been booted out? Because time after time, we see, even today, we see these people getting shuffled around. That's okay, they're on to us now if we keep it domestic. That now we find some of the American abusive priests getting transferred down to parishes in South America.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, and that's why I think even this Pope has his hands full. I don't think he's going to be able to manage these bishops who really do their own thing. They're an entity unto themselves. They refuse to listen or abide, even by civil law, let alone church law. Please remember, there was the Dallas Charter in 2002. The American Conference of Catholic Bishops got together, and they made the commitment, one strike and you're out.
I was watching that, and I remember more than one bishop got up and said, as the rules were being debated, those new rules that you're referring to, paraphrasing what the objector said, this is ratting out my fellow man, and I will not do it. I saw more than one bishop say that.
Well, they absolutely have that mindset that somehow we cannot, hold priests accountable to civil law, or civil standards. And, I mean, a clear indication or case of that is if you followed recently, the Vatican envoy to the Dominican Republic, who was originally from Poland, was recalled to the Vatican just days before the Dominican Republic launched charges against him for molesting young boys there. And the Vatican refused to extradite him, both back to Poland and or the Dominican Republic. I mean, you know, so they said, look, you know, we'll have our own trial. But it just flies in the face of everything that was stated recently by the church at the UN hearings for child abuse and torture. There were two separate hearings recently. And you're right. If you follow this, there's example after example after example that little has changed in terms of action. We hear some of the words which make us want to think, well, maybe something is happening. But if you really look into what actions have been taken, victims are still waiting for the church to act in a responsible, accountable, and often legal manner in dealing with those who are victimized as children by members of the clergy.
And add to that the sadness and the ignorance of others, the body of the church, who, in spite of all the facts and even admissions laid out, are still turning a blind eye and calling this a witch hunt and an unfair attack and making victims out of the victims. So that just adds to the whole thing. And this one story just exemplifies the importance of the work of of Survivors Network of those abused by priests, because this is the outlet that does help them hold on to their dignity, reclaim their life, and realize that that feeling of solitude and captivity emotionally as well as physically and abuse that they've suffered. They unfortunately are not alone, but this sounds weird to say, and it's probably a better way to say that, but fortunately they have people that have walked their path and can hopefully bring them to a stronger future and a stronger recovery as possible, if it is possible in some of the cases as well. So learn more about their work and support them every way you can by donations, by spreading the word that they are in existence and making a difference. SnapNetwork.org. We've been joined this morning by the director of the New Jersey chapter, Mark Crawford. Mark, thanks so much for the work that your organization does and for the way you keep attention on what is unfortunately ongoing activity that has to be fixed. And, well, we're past sooner. It's going to be later, but we got to get it fixed.
Absolutely correct. Thank you, Chris, for your time and covering this issue. Most important that people understand and see the true picture out there, which often, you know, in our busy lives, we don't get to see. But when the public realizes, steps up, and demands accountability and change, and I think some of our laws need to change, you know, to help perpetuate a safer and healthier organizations, whether it be in a school, a church, you know, coaching, doesn't matter. We need to put our children first and protect those interests before protecting powerful institutions.